Blog Talk Radio.
All right. One, two, three, test it. One, two, three, testing, coming in, watchman on the wall.
Here I am. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm on?
Yeah.
One, two, three, testing, coming in. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, you're on.
Okay, gotcha. Good evening. This is Watchman on the Wall. A little bit of difficult, but we're coming on in here, coming to you from Warren, Ohio, going on down there into Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. We're going to pick up Brother Tim Jackson after a while. He'll be coming in, and we're going to get into the Word of God. Deliver the message this evening, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry, Block Talk Radio, talking about nobody else, the only true living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, proclaiming the gospel to the four corners of the earth, letting you know Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ died and rose again. He's coming back to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody hoodwink you. He is coming back, for the world now is in one of the most awful shape that it's ever been, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get so bad that men going to want to die, can't die. Men are going to be confused. Men are going to deny more and more the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The devil is working double time, triple time, quadruplet time, seeking and roaring like a lion who he may devour. You better put your guard up and go to Calvary's cross. That's the only protection you have. There is no other protection than the blood of Jesus Christ to protect your soul from all destruction. Because the Bible says, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. This is Elder Bazaar coming to you from Block Talk Radio on Watchman on the Wall. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening. It's a pleasure to share with you the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So glad to have Brother Tim with me. If he's coming in, if he's in, you can come on in, Brother Tim, if you're there. Let me know that you're on the line so we can get down to the nitty-gritty. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Father God, and let you know that we love you and that we're on here to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that the time is short and the day is far spent and the sun is going down. We realize time is winding up for each and every individual person up on this planet. We realize that the book of Revelation is getting ready to be revealed. Although we see a prelude of what the tribulation is going to be like, we ask you right now to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirit, to let the word of God break it down so that we'll know that you said in your word you will come back to get a church. And we're looking for it. And we ask you right now, in Jesus' name, church, say amen. Amen. Come on now. Look at here. What we got? Watchman on the Wall. End Time. We have here End Time Radio Ministry. We are always on time. That is, God is always on time. And you know what we be talking about. We be talking about the end time. The end time. It's all right. Amen. It's all right to understand that God is a God of love. Nothing but love. Love all the way around. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that nobody would perish into everlasting destruction, that nobody would die and go to hell and spend eternity and spend the wrath of God up on their life forever. My God, the wrath of God is God's wrath against sin. And if you die in your sins, lost, undone, never been to the cross, never been born again, never been redeemed, never been brought back with a price, sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. If you have never experienced the power of the living God and you die without Christ in your life now, I'm talking about inside of your life, guess what? Hell will be your abode forever. And God don't want nobody to go to hell. I know I don't want nobody to go to hell. And I know a lot of people don't want to go to hell. That's why Jesus Christ came, to save our souls from sin so that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. It's appointed once for men to die, and after that is the judgment. And Jesus Christ came down here and judged us on the cross. When he died on the cross, he took our place, that through him we could be saved from death, hell, and the grave. And the world is saying today it's not necessary to go to Calvary's cross. It's not necessary for Jesus to die on the cross. It's not necessary for him to get up out the grave on the third day morning with all power in the heaven and earth in his hand for us to go to heaven. That's what the world is saying. The world is saying this because it's not in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, I don't want it. If it's in the Bible, I want it. And it's in the Bible that says that ye must be born again. You must be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What was your man given in exchange for his soul? So the only way that a man can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And since a lot of people don't understand that God will never put nobody in hell, just drop them in there. Just drop them in there and say, well, I'm dropping in there because you're drunken. I'm dropping in there because you a liar. I'm dropping you in there because I don't like it. God will never put nobody in hell like that. The only way that you can go to hell, is that you reject the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God himself became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So if anybody go to hell, it's not God's fault. You can't blame it on God, because what Christ did for you, he took your place on Calvary's cross and suffered the ridicule and the degradation and the stripes. He took the nails. He took all the ridicule. He took all the embarrassment. He took the stripes. He took everything that sin put up on him and paid the penalty for your sin. He paid for your sins. And if he paid for your sins, then you should be seeking the Lord and Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So when you leave this planet, your soul will not be descended into the lake of fire or into the bowels of the earth, which is hell itself. And that won't be God's fault. It'll be your fault, because the world, listen to me, the world has rejected. Majority of the world has rejected the Lord, God Almighty, and his crucified Son that died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. The world is telling God, we don't need it, we don't want it, we don't have to have it, we can get our own religion, we can get our own ways to reach you, and there's no other religion or either a cult or any other a deity that you can reach God other than Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, and Christ paid the penalty for sin. And since he paid the penalty for sin, there will be no excuses for anybody to go to hell. Why? Because Christ paid for your sins. And when you reject him, you are rejecting the payment that Christ paid for your sins, and so you will have to pay for your own sins. And if you pay for your own sin, you will die the spiritual death. And the spiritual death is separated from God. Separated from God forever, 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 because no sin will ever come in the presence of God Almighty. Well, God is a holy God. And since he is a holy God, he cannot tolerate, he cannot put up with sin in his kingdom. So he came down here and died that he can wipe out sin in your soul, wipe out sin in your spirit, and cleanse you and make you holy and sanctify your soul forever, that when you get ready to go to heaven or when you die, your soul will take flight at the throne of God. But if there's sin in your life, the sin is of unbelief in your life, if you disregard the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, you will have to go to hell. So God is not going to put nobody in hell. Just drop them in there. He gave us an opportunity, and that opportunity is through his son, Jesus Christ. My Father, Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. And now we're going to get into a subject that we're going to talk about right now. And that subject is there a hell? Is there a place of punishment? Is there a place of eternal fire? Is there a place for eternal damnation? Is there a place where torment will never end? Is there a place? And if there is a place, where is it? And how long will hell last? Hell will last as long as there's a living God. And hell was prepared for one individual and all his angels. It was prepared for Lucifer, the devil, and his angel, and all his cohorts, and all his demons. That's what hell was prepared for. Hell was not prepared for the human race. No, 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 no. Hell was not made for mankind. Hell was made for the devil, Lucifer, and his rebellious attitude that he had against God Almighty and all the angels that trailed in behind him and was cast to the earth. And when he was cast to the earth, God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden and told them to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't you eat it. The day you eat it, you shall surely die. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. Don't get no idea in your head, hey, man, that you can disobey me and not pay the price. And you know what happened? Let me tell you what happened. Lucifer fell from heaven, cast out presence of God, and he was cast out into the Garden of Eden. And God put Adam and Eve in there. And he told them to eat the fruit, eat from the tree of life, but don't eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The day you eat thereof, you, the whole human race will die. The whole human race will be separated from God. The whole human race will be damned forever if Adam and Eve mess with that fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And don't you know what happened? Don't you know what happened? Satan hate God so much that he said, I'm going to destroy the human race. I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to destroy everything God made. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it to the woman. I'm going to go to the woman and I'm going to deceive her. I'm going to trick her. I'm going to con her. I'm going to bamboozle her. I'm going to put some voodoo and some hoodoo on Eve and cause her to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And don't you know what he done? He went down there in that garden amongst the beauty and the extravagant, immaculate creation that God had made. And he moved around in that garden and maneuvered up to Eve and told her, God said. God said, if you eat the tree of knowledge, good and evil, you're going to die. And Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub told Eve, said, you're not going to die, girl. You're not going to die, sweetie. You eat that tree of knowledge, good and evil, your eyes going to be open, and you will become as little gods, knowing good from evil. Girl, the Lord is trying to hold back something from you, from that garden. He don't want you to know the wisdom that he knows. He don't want you to know nothing. And I'll tell you right there, you will not die if you eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And sure as you're born, good God Almighty, sure as you're born, Eve ate that fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And when she ate it, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And she came to Adam and said, Adam, you ought to taste this fruit, honey. Oh, this is out of sight. I ain't never taste nothing like this. And she wooed Adam in. She kind of like seduced Adam and said, oh, honey, sweetheart, pudding pie, you, this stuff, it ain't what you think it is. I'm not going to die. Look, I'm still alive. But see, the Lord wasn't talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual. Adam was wooed in to take the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, and he took a bite out of it. When he took a bite out of it, his eyes were open, and he knew he was naked. The minute he touched that fruit with his tongue and started eating, he died. Oh, did he die? He died a spiritual death. He died separated from God. And now Adam and Eve were separated from God because they ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, and they disobeyed God, and the whole penalty fell upon the human race. You want to know why the human race is like this now? It's because of Adam and Eve ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And the whole human race now died. They died in that day, and every baby that's born from the time of Adam and Eve was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, cut off from God, didn't know who God was, but they had an of God, knowing that there was a creator, but they didn't have no fellowship with him. They didn't have no relationship with him. They were totally cut off, and the whole world fell into sin. The whole world died. The whole human race died, and there's millions of people. They are dead. They're dead, not physical death, but spiritual death. They have no idea and have no way of knowing who the true God is until it's taught to them, until they find out how can they get back to God. And the only way God made a way for man to get back to God was that he sent his only son, because the only way that man can be brought back to God is through the blood system. The blood has the answer. The blood of animals in the Old Testament was a type and shadow of a better sacrifice. And that sacrifice, and the only sacrifice, was that Jesus Christ knew, God knew, the eternal God knew that the only way that he could bring man back to God was a blood sacrifice. And animals' blood sacrifice was not sufficient. But God had foreordained before the world began. He knew that Adam and Eve was going to fall. He knew that in order for them to fall, amen, he had to give them an opportunity to make a choice. And they made the wrong choice. People today are making the wrong choice. They're going after every other God. They're serving every other God, and they're making the wrong choices in life. And the world today is not making the right choices. And the right choices is to recognize that God Almighty, Lord, have mercy. Listen to what I'm saying. God Almighty, eternal God, the self-existent God, the God that don't need nobody, the one that had no beginning and no end, the one that's got all power, all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And the world don't know him. They don't know him because many people don't want to know him. Many people believe they can go on their own thing. In fact, majority of the world believe they can satisfy God on their own self-righteousness, on their own religion, off the denomination, off the occult. They think they can please God. But no religion, no occult on the face of this earth can please God. None. You hear what I said? I said none. N-O-N-E. What part don't you understand? The N or the E? You can only please God one way. One way. One way. For the Bible says God is the Spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the only way that you can worship God is through his son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say believe on Mohammed or Buddha. He didn't say believe on Scientology. He didn't say believe on Jehovah's Witness. He didn't say believe on the Baptist. He didn't say believe on the Presbyterian. He said didn't believe on the Catholic. He didn't say believe on the Pope. He said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the only way man can get connected with the Almighty God. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. That is the only way that man can be connection with God. And the Bible says God is love. And if God is love and you say you are born again, then when you are born of God, guess what? The love of God enters into your heart through the blood of Jesus Christ. If a man says that he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Woo! Thank you, brother. Thank you. Come on in there. The love of God is the only thing that a man can experience to have a changed life. And people today don't want to be changed. They don't want the love of God. They don't want to shed blood. They don't want take up on the crucifixion of the Lord and Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, because there's nobody on this planet that was crucified that came back from the grave like Jesus. Oh, good. Listen to what I'm saying. No man, no deity, no demigod, no angel, no holy angel, no fallen angel and ever went to the cross like Jesus Christ did. And the reason why they couldn't go, because they had no power. They wasn't God. They wasn't a self-existent one. And the only one that is self-existent, don't need nobody, is God Almighty. And he gave himself through his only son, Jesus Christ, himself, and bear the sins of the whole round world. Now the world is trying to escape hell without accepting Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't accept Jesus Christ and repent of your sin and turn from your wicked ways and hate sin, you got to hate sin. You got to hate the wrong living and the wrong thinking and the wrong attitude. You got to hate sin, really, in order to come to Jesus Christ by faith. Because if you don't hate sin, you're going to love it. And if you love something, you want to keep it. And if you keep it, then you're going to have to be responsible for you when you go to hell. You're going to have to pay for your own sin. Jesus Christ paid for yours. Now, if he paid for it, what's the problem of the world? Well, people love darkness rather than light because, what, their deeds are evil. People love sin. They do it in the dark. They do it in the daytime now. It don't make no difference to nobody anymore. I mean, people lie, cheat, steal. In the daytime, don't give a second thought. They believe that God is going to let this go by because they don't understand the grace of God is ever loving, ever mercy. He'll give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity until the final day comes when you come to before the throne of judgment and you're going to find out, Lord, you didn't give enough time. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. I gave you 40 years. I gave you 50 years. I gave you 20 years. I gave you enough time to accept my son, Jesus Christ. And guess what you did? You just was a churchgoer. You went to church. You prayed. You choir. You were preaching. But you never repented of your sins. Woo! And what I'm going to do this evening, amen, Brother Tim is in now, and he's going to give me a hand, but I'm going to come back after say what he got to say, amen, and give me some word in the word of God about this year's blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, what he did. There's nobody else. And I want to ask him if he can find me anybody else before he come on. If you can find me anybody else before I come off this program that did what Jesus Christ did, just let me know, please, and I'll start preaching. Good God Almighty.
Amen.
If you can find anybody other than Jesus Christ that did what he did and did what he said he was going to do and come back from the grave and went back to heaven, sitting on the right hand side of the Father right now, making intercession for you. If you find anybody other than that, Brother Tim, after
Amen.
We get through with this program, if you find him, I'll quit preaching. Good God Almighty.
Amen.
And so right now, Brother Tim, come on, talk to me, brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. I don't believe I can find anybody. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. Thank you for having me. Amen. I won't be on before a short minute. Amen. The weather's kind of got me. Amen.
Got
so we're going to let the Holy Spirit work. Amen. So I want to be here. So, amen. So I believe I got a little bit, amen, that I can speak on. Amen. Amen. So what I want
Praise
to
God.
Share,
Thank you,
amen, Thank you. What I've been working with and studying on, amen, is the little G, amen, the little gods, amen, which are the gods that decide to, and they're not the real God, amen. The brother said, amen, is nothing but the Holy Spirit that you said what you said, because when I was studying today, and thinking about what you said, that there's only one that came and did what Christ has done and died on the cross for the sins of mankind, amen.
Yes.
Lucifer, amen, which name is now Satan. And because of
mm-hmm.
what he did when he fell, amen, his name was no longer Lucifer. His name became Satan, amen. And we call him the devil because what the devil represents is evil acts, evil spirits. That's why you call people the devil. That's why we say, oh, he ain't nothing but the old devil, because that's the devil spirit, amen? That's the spirit of Lucifer, the spirit of Satan is the devil. That's why we call him Satan and the devil, amen? Because
amen.
The devil represents evil spirits, amen? And you think about how much Lucifer hated Adam. Lucifer hated Adam so much. He was jealous of Adam.
Uh-huh.
And he hated them so much that he would, because one of the main reasons why he hated Adam is because, for one, amen, he was created what?
Yes.
In the image of God.
Yes.
So when
yes.
he saw Adam, he was like, man, what art man that what art man that thou art? Mindful of him. You made him
uh-huh.
look just like you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he was mad about that. Amen. So when he
yeah.
went down and deceived Adam and Eve, amen, he deceived them. He called Adam, amen, to hand over, amen, the reins to the earth, amen. In other words, Adam was controlling the earth. Adam had full control until he disobeyed
yeah.
God. And that would call Lucifer to take control of this planet, amen. And then Lucifer got even more mad when God offered Adam in the garden. We know we saw in Genesis 3 and 15. He made a promise
yeah.
to Adam and to all of mankind that I will redeem
yeah.
you back to me. Amen.
Yeah.
If you will repent
yeah.
and follow me and serve me. God made a promise to Adam in the garden. He made a promise to Adam and Eve. And Lucifer was, man, oh, he was on fire. He said, wait a minute. You're going to give him the opportunity, amen, to turn
amen,
and to come
brother.
Back. Amen. But you're not going to give me the opportunity. You're not going to give
well,
me the chance to come back and repent and come
no.
back to heaven and be. No,
no.
he cannot. After what he did here in the fall angels, they cannot go back that way.
Woo,
they are
hallelujah.
So evil. Amen. And see him. And I just want to talk about the little G, the little God. Amen. Let me show you how Lucifer works. Lucifer had to promise the angels in heaven that they will be like gods, like they would rule. And that's what they were interested in. They was interested in ruling, having rulership. So they couldn't take over heaven. They thought that they were going to overthrow heaven, which I don't know what in the world made them think. Amen,
crazy.
Brother. Pray for me. I can barely laugh, amen, because of my condition. But amen. They really thought that they were going to take over heaven. Ain't that something, brother? You know
That's
what?
Not. That's not.
Amen. My dad, my mom and dad had six boys. No girls, just six boys. And that's almost like us boys getting together, at least half of us, or to two of the six saying, me and one of them said, you know what we going to do? Because that's one-third. If you got six brothers, two, four, six, two other six is one-third. So that's what Lucifer, so that's to put you in the mindset of the amount of angels that Lucifer took from heaven. Now, this is not an accurate number. I'm just going to give you an example. Let's just say, for example, there were 6 billion angels. 6 billion. Just an example. So when Lucifer drew a third, that means he took 2 billion of the 6 with him. The other 4 billion stayed in heaven. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That's just an example. It's not an accurate number. We don't know how many angels in heaven. Amen. But that's just an example. So the point that I'm making is, man, what were they thinking to rebel against God and to think
Good
that they
Lord.
Were overthrown? Lord have mercy. Brother, that's a thought that I think probably at least once a week. I can't get over. What were they thinking? That they thought that they were going to overturn the kingdom of heaven and take it from God Almighty. We're talking about the God that's, he's an almighty God. He's
almighty God.
He's all-seeing, omniscient. He's all-knowing, omnipresent. He's all-presence. He's everywhere at all time, omniscient.
Yes.
Amen. Omnipotent, all-powerful, all-seeing,
Lord,
all-knowing God. And you thought that you're going to, man, he knew it before. So that means that before you can think something, God already knows what you're going to think. His plan, he's already ahead of you. Light years ahead of you before you make your next moves. So if you was playing in a chess game, you never beat him because he is not to be defeated. Amen. Amen. And so I don't know what Lucifer and them were thinking, but somehow Lucifer encouraged these so many, one-third of the angels to come down to rebel against God. And when they was kicked out of heaven, because Christ said, remember Christ was in the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. The Word was God, which means Christ has always existed. He said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven when he was kicked out of heaven. Amen. He saw Lucifer. And Lucifer, amen, now once they kicked out of heaven, now I'm going to promise y'all, so since we couldn't take over heaven, y'all going to be little gods. You'll be able to rule.
Yeah.
When he saw Adam and Eve, amen. He sent 200 angels down, and them 200 angels, they agreed to go in and impregnate women on the earth. Lord have mercy. See, they wasn't supposed to do that. These angels have committed so much treacherous, evil, vile, reckless sin, all of them. They cannot. They are unredeemed. They can't go back. Because Adam and Eve was made innocent. The angels were made perfect. They knew better. They knew what they were doing. But because the lust, the greed, or pride, amen, they turned their backs on Almighty God. Amen.
All right.
And what they begin to do, amen, if I got a little time, what they begin to do, Lord have mercy. When those angels came down, do you know what they were doing? Do you know that they were having sex not only with men, but Lord have mercy. They was having sex with men. They was having sex with the women and the men. So now we talking about little gods. Remember now, don't go nowhere. Stick with me on this subject. We talking about the little G, the little God, because they are not. There's only one God. We're talking about the little gods. These angels, the fallen angels, came down. They impregnated these women. They begin to have children, which became giants. They called these angel watchers. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. Watch this. These jokers begin to not only to commit fornication and adultery with women, which they weren't supposed to do, they defiled the men. Remember where they were sodomizing the men. Now you wonder where the spirit of gayness come from. Amen. Amen. And sleeping with men. This is why the Illuminati say if you want to be like a little G gods, ooh, Lord have mercy. Then you got to do these vile things. This is why they do bestiality. See, if you want to make all this money, you got to, and the goal, higher you go, the more evil and wicked you got to do. You got to sleep with women, all kind of women in orgies. Not only that, you got to sleep with men. You got to give and get. Amen. We used to say back in the day, you got to pitch and catch. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with none of that, man. Amen.
Yes,
amen. This is what you got to do to get money. You want to be filthy rich, and don't mistake it. This ain't nothing new. People think this is called the rappers now. They've been doing it since the rock and roll. They've been doing it since Sam Cooke and Elvis and Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra. They've been doing it for hundreds of years and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, way since before Christ. They've been doing it all the way back even before, amen, Nimrod. This is an evil, vile, evil, wicked spirit that has been seducing mankind since the angels came down the earth when they saw the beautiful women that they saw. Now watch this.
Come on.
Now watch this. Did you know that when they were sleeping with the beast, the birds, that they were having offspring? Lord have mercy. They was having called monsters. See, I told a brother this long time ago. I said, brother, what are these movie makers and filmmakers, where do they get the idea to create these aliens and these creatures? I said, brother, this is not natural. Don't no natural man think of nothing like that in his mind. I said, brother, they have actually seen this junk somewhere. Amen. Woo. That's because the fallen angels, and they have traveled beyond the galaxy light year. These Nephilim, oh, man, y'all not ready. Y'all not hearing me tonight. These jokers have been traveling from galaxy to galaxy. They've been around, no telling how long they've been out there. They've been traveling, creating offspring. Ain't no telling. See, when they show you these movies, they ain't really showing you stuff that's happened in the past. Stuff that's already happened. It ain't going to happen.
Yes, no.
It's already. They probably inhabited planets. Ain't no telling what they have done. Created offspring. They did DNA splicing, making half man, half. That's why everything they put on TV like some type of creature that's humanoid. Because why? They had to use man's DNA to create these creatures in animal DNA. Where do you think all this stuff come from with dinosaurs and all this stuff? This stuff here was stuff that was actually on the planet. And this is why governments of the world do as much as they can to hide everything. Every time people, archaeologists, find something on the earth, they shut them up. They take what they found and they hide it. And they say, well, we lost it. Man, they have found skeletons with horns in them. Man, what in the world you find a skeleton with them? Who got horns on their head? See, they've been hiding all this stuff. Lord have mercy, doctor. They've been finding stuff, mermaids and stuff like that. People like they half snake, half human. They've been finding this junk in the earth. This is why they've been hiding it. And that's one of the reasons. If you read over the things, the book of Deuteronomy, God told Moses not to dig in the earth. And that was the reason why. First, when I read that long time ago, I didn't know. I said, why did God tell Moses not to dig in the earth? Well, that's because he didn't want him to see the stuff or the children to know about those things of the past before the flood. Why? Because it would bring up too many questions. There's no need for you to worry about that. I need you to focus on spreading the title. Tell the world about me. Don't worry about the demons and what Lucifer and Satan have been doing. I need you to focus on saving souls. But these rascals are evil, dirty, Lowdown been sleeping with angels. This is why you see ancient drawings and statues of half humans and half calves and half lions and birds.
No,
and you name it. Man, they got all kind of junk out there, half human, half. You see these books, these demonic-looking evil creatures? This is where the stuff comes. It's not natural for a man to think up those things. That's not natural, brother. It's not natural for me to sit here and think of an alien or a creature. That's not natural.
Uh-uh.
Where are they getting all these drawings from? How are they able to draw this? How are they even able to come up with this mess? That's because somebody has showed this to them. And I believe right now today that somehow, some way, they still got the remains of these demonic demons. Amen. They've actually they found bodies, and every time they find these bodies, the government takes the bodies. There used to be a man that he used to show off this body of this creature he had. Look, half human. It was hairy. It looked like a type of Bigfoot type of creature. He actually had, they said it was real. And they said that the government, they said they don't know where that body is today. This is the type, I'm going to give it back, I'm going to get back over to you, but this is the type of evil, wicked. So if you want to be a little God, you got to sell yourself. You want money in the bank, you got to do all these heinous acts. Amen. Like the brother said before. And that's not the first time I heard, but I know he's telling the truth. It ain't the first time I heard that. I've heard that. That they got to eat feces and drink urine and have all these orgies. Some of them go as far as having sex with animals. You may not believe it or not, but they doing it.
Yeah.
It's called beast. That's not natural. Who in their right mind would lay with a beast of the field? That is so filthy. More or less, you going too far when you mess with the opposite sex. That's way too far for me. The devil is a lie.
Yeah.
I love women and I love my wife. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's it. Outside of that, there ain't nothing else. Amen, brother. I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother. Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You, brother.
Pray
God
for me,
bless.
Brother. Stop dealing with this cold. Pray for me.
What he just said today, it verifies you that anything that comes from the devil is rotten. Anything that comes from the devil is low down, dirty, conniving. He is filthy. He's no good. He never will be no good, but God is going to let him run out his course in history down through 6,000 years. The pendulum of Satan has been swinging across the annals of time until now it's at a peak that is unbelievable because what people are doing today, they did it in ancient times, and it will not cease until Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, and he's going to eliminate every foul, low-down, dirty, rotten spirit, and those that follow Satan, those that take the plead with Satan and make deals with Satan and do Satan's work are going to be cast into the pit of fire that burns with brimstone. I don't care if you're a church member. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're the pope. If you haven't been born again and you have not submitted your soul and your spirit to the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ in your soul, you belong to the devil. What did you say that for?
Doctor.
I belong to the devil. You are the devil's child. The Bible says if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Meaning you have not been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved and sanctified, and glorifying Jesus Christ in your life, you are lost. L-O-S-T. What don't you understand, the L or the T? Well, what if you don't understand it? You're lost, you're undone. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go in there. For straight is the way, and narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leadeth to life, and very few will find it. But the big question today around the world, is there a hell? Is there a hell? I mean,
Amen.
If there is a hell, then how come people just don't believe in God's word? Because that's the only place you're going to find the word hell is in the Bible. It's all through the Bible. It's written from the beginning. Of Genesis all the way until Revelation, there is a hell. And crazy with the devil and his angels and his Nephilim and all these years, weird demons that, like the brother said, they crossbreed. They go with animals, and animals go with the human race, and these angels just mixed up the seed. And what they was trying, really they were trying to do, they was trying to stop the royal seed, or the seed in which God said, I'm going to bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He was trying to stop that seed. He was trying to stop God's plan to redeem man back to God. He got mad. He got mad in the Garden of Eden. He got mad with he caused Cain to kill Abel because Abel offered a sacrifice and it was done with blood. And Cain said, I ain't going to use no blood. I'm going to do my work. I'm going to work my way to hell. I'm going to get my own God. I'm going to my own church. I'm going to believe my own preacher. I'm going to work and work and work and work. And I believe I can get to heaven off of my works. But let me tell you, hell no. You're not going to off of your works. The only way that you can come to Jesus Christ is you got to come to him to get to God. If you try to get around Jesus Christ to get to God, you're Antichrist. And the Bible says the world will be filled with Antichrists today. We got so many people today anti-God. We got church folks anti-God. We got politics anti-God. We got homosexuals anti-God. We got non-believers anti-God. We got pretty people, ugly people anti-God. They can't stand God. Where did this hatred come from? It comes from Satan, because Satan hates God. He hates mankind. He hates himself, and he's trying to destroy everybody to go with him, and he's mad because he gets mad when somebody comes to Jesus Christ. He gets mad. Why? Because that's one soul he done lost. And he's never satisfied. He wants you. He wants your soul. He don't want nothing else but your soul. And the only way that he can get your soul, he can get it. If you turn from God, if you reject God's ultimate plan.
Amen.
I talk to God every day. And I was going to ask him today, Lord, is there another soul? You know better than that. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Ain't nobody else can do what my son did, and that is he died. Oh, he suffered. He was ridiculed. He was poked fun at. He was spat upon. He was whipped beyond recognition. He died for what? My low-down, rotten, conniving sins. Now, if you don't come to Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, you got to suffer with the devil. And let me tell you, people saying, oh, I'm having fun with the devil now. Oh, man, I can party, I can dance, I can use my drugs, I can become a homosexual. Oh, I'm enjoying this, man. All right? You won't enjoy it in hell. You will not enjoy it in hell.
Amen.
Why? Because you have to pay for your own sin. Now, wait a minute.
That's right.
Paying for your own sin is devastating. That means that you are going to be separated from God forever. Ever. Let me see, ever. Express ever. Ever means forever. I can say ever for once. That means forever. In other words, you're going to pay for your sins forever. I don't want you to have to pay for your sins. And I ain't no way on this earth or on the other side of heaven that I would tell God, let me go and have my party. Let me have my fun. Let me do all my drugs. And then tell him, say, now, can I come to heaven? No, I ain't going to heaven. I'm not
That's
going.
That's right.
I'm not going because I reject the blood sacrifice. And there's billions of people today are dying every day. Thousands are dying every day without Christ. Yeah. Woo, my God. Jesus Christ, listen to me. Jesus Christ spoke more on hell than he did about heaven.
Amen.
Let's see what the Bible says about this in the book. In the book of, let me get this here in my scripture here. Amen. It says here in the word of God. Amen. Luke. How about Luke? Let's talk to Luke. Luke says 16:23. And here's what it says. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. What you're about to read is hard to believe. We're going to examine the place the Bible calls hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, present documents, evidence for a place called hell. Don't take your going to read lightly. you could be in serious danger. The Bible continues to warn of a place called hell. There is over 162 references in the New Testament alone which warns of hell. And over 70 references are uttered by who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's Christ talking about hell over 70 times in the New Testament.
Lord have mercy.
Do you understand? 70 times
Amen.
Jesus talked about hell. Why he talking about hell? He's talking about hell to warn you, don't
That's
come
right.
here. Don't go there. Don't play with the devil. Don't let the devil use you. Turn from your wicked ways. Why? Because I'm warning you there is a hell. Now, if
Amen.
There's not a hell, then Jesus Christ is the biggest liar and false God that ever was, if there's not a hell.
Amen.
And if there's a hell, there's got to be a heaven.
Amen.
Because heaven was prepared
right.
for what? Prepared for the saints of God. That's what heaven was prepared for. And
Amen.
Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Angels, that's right, Doctor.
It wasn't prepared for the human race. But the human race said, man, shoot, I'll go to hell anyway. I ain't worried about no hell. take me to hell and let me see it. Well, you don't have to go to hell and know there's a hell. You can see hell on earth right now. And this is a type of shadow and let the touch on the scratch on the back of your hand. Listen to what he said. Jesus said 70 times, Jesus gives frightening pictures of hell. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment and saw Abraham afar and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. The rich man cried. Now he crying. What he crying for? Man, shoot. He'll make you cry. You get burnt. You're going to cry.
Amen.
I'm serious. It'll make you cry. And he said, now listen to what he said. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now he wants mercy. People don't want mercy today. They don't give mercy. They don't show
That's
mercy.
Right.
Uh-uh. They cuss you out. Church folks now. What's coming from
Amen.
The world? Surprise me because they cuss anyway. You know, they gonna cuss in their sleep. They'll nothing. But then we got church folks up in the house of God cussing.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Ain't nothing for you to lay down because if you had any religion, if you got any, what you land it down for? It ain't worth nothing if you're going to lay it down.
Amen.
Jesus Christ
Come
is
on, God. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is a relationship. Jesus Christ is a person.
Right.
Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ is the change of life. Jesus Christ is love, mercy, goodness, long-suffering. That's what Jesus Christ is. People say, I know the Lord and don't have a bitter love in him. None whatsoever.
Amen.
Always nitpicking. Always telling everybody else what to do and don't know what to do themselves. Well, look what this man said. He said, but Abraham, he says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus down and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented. So that tormented means you're going to be tormented in hell if you go there. Don't go. I'll tell
Amen.
You what, I put it, don't go, brother. Don't go. Don't. And I thank God. I thank God the coronavirus came because, number one, some people now can come look on YouTube or look on the internet and get preached to. See, I can preach on
Amen.
Here. Amen. What does God say? Ain't nobody can sit me down. Ain't nobody can tell me what to say or not to say because I'm coming
Amen.
From the Word of God.
That's
God
right.
tell me to shut up, then I'll shut up. But I ain't going to shut up because the devil wants me to shut up. But I'm not going to shut up because let me tell you, hell is too hot for me to shut up and tell you it's going to be all right because it's not going to be all right if you don't come to Jesus Christ. And I'm pleading
That's
with you,
right.
I'm begging for you, on my hands and knees, don't go to hell, please, because this rich man
Amen.
Is telling me that he's tormented in his flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth good thing, and likewise Lazarus an evil thing, but now he is comforted. Oh, good God Almighty. Ooh,
yeah.
All the trouble,
yeah.
all problems that you have in this life. I go through all the problems I have with this life, with Jesus Christ, that have the pleasures of sin. And people now are having pleasure for a sin, for a season. They're enjoying themselves. The church folks are enjoying themselves. Now they say, well, I don't have to go to church no more, and I don't have to hear the preacher preaching. The preacher saying, well, I wonder where I'm going to get my income coming from. My God, so I got to preach you something that people like. But if you preach the word of God, they say, well, if I go there, I'm going to get hurt. And what you think the word of God is supposed to do? It's supposed to cut you. It's supposed to rip you apart and tell you a low-down sinner. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to come to Jesus Christ and merciful. You need to repent of your sins. But people say, I ain't think about no repentance. I ain't turning from my sins and have the fear of God in my life for the sin. But they don't know God is a holy God, and he can't tolerate sin. He can't put up with it for so long. Amen. And besides thee, he said, listen here. But Abraham's son, remember that thy lifetime was good thing. And besides all these, between you and us, there is a great gulf. So what is this great gulf at? This gulf is in the bowels of the earth. It's in the bowels of the earth. Great gulf. This great gulf is in the bottom side of the earth. It's down underneath. Oh, yes, it is.
Yes,
watch,
yes.
When somebody falls down, people have a tendency to laugh. Why? Because people like to see people down. And hell is down.
Amen.
Why do people say, you ain't never hear nobody say, oh, man, go to heaven. No, you ain't heard that. You hear, man, why don't you go to hell?
Amen.
So if a man is naming the word hell and tell him to go to hell, where is hell? Hell is in the bowels of the earth. In scripture, it says it's in the bowels of the earth. He said, thou send to thy father's house, for I have five brothers. I want you to alert them and testify unto them. Lest they come to this place. Here's a brother in hell. Go tell my other five brothers, don't come to this place. He was giving them a dire warning. Don't come. He didn't say, man, tell them to come on down here. I want them to feel what I feel. He didn't tell them that. He said, don't come. Don't come telling my brothers out there, my sisters out there, the wino, the drunkard, the liar, the backbiter, the hypocrite. I'm telling, don't go to hell. Please, no, please, 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 please. It's all right. Hell is a place. The man in Luke 6:24 cries, said, I'm tormenting in this flame. Jesus said, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's Jesus now. Jesus said, depart from me, workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire. That's Jesus talking. That ain't me. That's Jesus. He says,
amen.
And whosoever shall not be written in the book of life shall be what? Cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation. That's Jesus talking. People think, oh, let me tell you something. Jesus is the most loving, compassionate man.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was the fit image of God Almighty in the flesh. He loved people. He loved people so much that he died. He didn't die for himself. He didn't die for you to go down the street and say, oh, yeah, he died. But he died to save you from hell.
Amen.
You can't work your way out of hell. You can't work your way to heaven. Christ did all the works. He did the works. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. But people now, they say, it's Jesus Christ plus I don't do this and I don't do that. I got to do this and I got to do it. Yeah, there's some things you got to do, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth when you do receive Christ. He'll tell you what to do. And the world today is putting a tag on the cross and say the cross was not sufficient enough to save you men. Well, that's a lie. That's the biggest lie that ever been told. Jesus Christ was sufficient. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he descended into hell in Acts. He said, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. When Jesus Christ died, his soul went to hell. He went to hell. So if Jesus Christ went to hell and came back, whoo, it takes some power to do that. It takes a God to do that. But I ain't never seen a man say, I'm die tomorrow, and then 3 days and later on I'm gonna get up. I ain't never seen a man come back from the dead on his own power.
Yes.
No, no. I didn't see Buddha. I didn't see Muhammad. I didn't see Allah come back. In fact, I didn't see Jehovah's Witness come back. I didn't see no Baptist come back. I ain't seen none of those guys come back. So if they didn't come back, then that means they still in hell. Whoever died without Christ, Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is the only
right.
man in the human in the universe that came back from hell. And he said, and died and went to hell. Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in mm-hmm. the 3 nights in the heart. In the heart of the earth. Hell.
The Bible is clear.
Hell is inside the earth. That's where hell at. Heaven is in the heavens. Heaven is up. And let me tell you, I don't mind getting up in the morning. Ooh. I don't mind seeing the sun rise in the morning. And when it sets,
Oops.
I look at myself and say, another day lost. There's another day gone. But God rises the sun up again. So when you say going up, that gives me joy. Because let me tell you something. One day, and it won't be long, you're going to look for me and I'll be gone. What you talking about, Brother Bizarre? I'm talking about the trumpets of God is going to sound. And the dead in Christ is going to rise. And we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. It didn't say we're going to meet him in hell. We're going to meet him in the air.
Amen.
And those that die without Christ are going to be in their graves, and they won't be resurrected until the final day. And when the final day comes, they're going to stand before the great white throne. When they stand before the great white throne, the Bible says their names will not be written in the Lamb book of life. The Bible says they shall be cast into the lake of fire. Hell, Gehenna. Gehenna is hot. You say, what you talking about? You scare me, preacher. No, I'm not scaring you. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. The word of God. It says, Jesus, now, he that ascendeth, what is it but he that descendeth first in the lower parts of the earth? That's where Jesus Christ went when he died, in the lower parts of the earth. On page 85, it says, death door, the roaring patient who described the place. It says, is underground or in the earth. It says, listen, 1987, the article listed earth is hotter than the sun surface. Scientists say that the article stated that the temperature is over 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You see pictures of volcanoes erupting and spewing out a lake of fire. It says the sun's surface says over 12,000 degrees. When Mount St. Helens erupted in May the 18th, 1980, it was reported when hell surfaced up on the earth, the volcano's earth awakened. It described erupting, descended into hell. Then it says this, thousands of years ago, the Bible describes a place in hell of the earth that matches exactly the discovery. Job quoted about hell. In Numbers 16th chapter of Numbers, Bible gives an account of people falling into hell. People, 16th chapter of Numbers, the 32nd and the 33rd verse, it says, the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, their houses and all the men that are pertaining to Korah and his rebel against Moses, all the goods, they and all that them went down in the pit and closed, and the Lord closed them up. This happens in what? It happened in the book of Numbers. You got to read your Bible. No hell. I ain't sorry that I have to say this because the Bible's already done said it, and God done warned us. He done warned us. Listen what it says. Listen what this says. It says this. So in the book of 16th chapter Numbers, there is a opening up where God opened up this place and this whole family went down into the pit. And it says, inside the earth is very few moments. There are millions of lost, tormented souls burning, weeping, wailing without any hope. Jesus Christ says about hell, there are worms that die not, and the fire quenches not. Jesus explicitly said they're worms, not worm, nor worm, but they're worms. Jesus said, oh, my God, and their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14:10, and he said, be tormented with fire and brimstone. Job said, 18th chapter, says, describe the place of him that knoweth not God. Brimstone shall be scattered amongst the habitation. Do you not know that the brimstone is? It is sulfur. And do not know that the sulfur or brimstone is found inside this earth, according to the book of the volcanoes of Pure Corolla, Mount St. Helens in 1980, 150,000 tons of sulfur and gas ejected. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, written over 3,000 years ago, yet Job, that signs would know, that know what was inside the earth. Hell is a place, Jesus said. Here we go again. Lord, have mercy. He ain't playing. Christ is not playing, but Christ loves him. He's warning. And he says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Here we go again. Listen to this. No crime. Listen. No crime with all its blood and gore could begin to match the horrors of hell. You will see hell. You will smell hell. You will breathe hell. You'll feel hell. It is beyond anything humanly imaginable. The Bible describes it as weeping and wailing, darkness, flames, torment, everlasting punishment. Jesus Christ said, oh, look at this. 24th chapter, 41st verse of St. Matthew. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for what? The devil and his angels. Jesus said, and shall cast them into the lake, cast them into the furnace of the fire. Ooh, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. All who enter hell has an abandoned hope. There is no hope in hell. But let me tell you something. There's hope now. You got hope.
That's right, amen.
The hope
That's right.
Jesus Christ. Turn from that sin. Turn from that wickedness that Satan is trying to put up on you. And he's telling you a big lie if he's going around telling you, ain't no such thing. God can't put you in there. That's right. God cannot put you in hell. God cannot put you in hell. If you go to hell, listen to me. If you go to hell, it will be your fault.
That's right.
Because you listen to the spirit of these demons and devils that control men's minds and their hearts and believe that this world is going to last forever. This world and this system and the governments is not going to last forever. The church is not going to be here when the judgment falls upon this planet. Judgment is already in the prelude right now. We see an outburst of all the crimes that's going on. Everybody trying to get rid of corona. Everybody trying to get rid of the problems and situations that they're running them to. Everybody trying to get rid of everything else, but they're not trying to get rid of sin. They don't want to get rid of sin. They love sin. But until you get rid of sin, and if you live in sin, walking in sin, talking sin, living sin, and die, you're going to hell. And I say that in love, but I say that with authority. Jesus said, cast them into the furnace. Hell is forever. Even 1 second. 1 second is unbearable, but forever.
Yes.
Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God, have mercy on our souls. Have mercy on the world. Have mercy on the church folks. Have mercy on the lost one. Have mercy on the hypocrite.
Yes.
And it says, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever. It didn't say 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. It said forever. And there will be no rest, day and night. No lunch break. No walking out to the park with your dog. No golfing. No football. No basketball. No theaters. No lingerie. No sex activities will be in jail. No drinking. You won't be allowed to drink. No water will be allowed because he won't be able to stand the heat. And there you are in your right mind wondering, why did I listen to Satan? Why didn't I listen to that preacher that I thought was crazy, didn't have the right mind that he was born with? How come that preacher was talking about Jesus Christ so much? How come he was talking about the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ so much? How come he was talking about how he come up out from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand? How come he was talking about, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will come again. You know why I'm talking about it? Because let me tell you, don't go to hell. Please don't go. It's forever. It's forevermore. Listen to this. It says the darkness is so terrifying. It begins engulfing you. You feel something moving in the darkness. Something horrible happens, saying, no, no, this can't be happening. You scream as the worm is emerging. You begin to curse the day that you were born. You scream, oh, God. Oh, God, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? But you remember the preacher pleading with you to receive Christ. You remember reading the gospel tract. You cry, God, don't you care? Don't you care about me? And listen to what it says. He won't allow this. You cry, but you remember John 3:36. He that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Good God. You don't want God to be angry at you.
Right.
If God is angry with you at the final judgment and you haven't accepted his Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, you are doomed and you will feel the wrath of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Why? Because somebody told you, or wicked spirit told you, your friend told you, that they didn't believe in the Bible. I don't believe all that hocus pocus. I don't believe in all that crying. I don't believe in all that repentance. I don't believe in all that church going. I don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't believe it was necessary for me to do that. I'm a holiness man. Yeah, you can say holiness, but the only way you can be holy is through the blood of Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus Christ is the only pure, powerful working of God Almighty, because it's God's blood. And since God is all-powerful, then he's got an all-powerful blood, and he shed it through his Son, Jesus Christ. But God is a God of love. Why would a God of love send me to hell? Yes, yes, God is a God of love. But God also is a holy God. And a holy God, listen, a holy God demands payment for sin. Somebody got to pay for your sins. Come on, did you get it? Somebody got to be a substitute for your sin. Somebody got to be speared through. Somebody got to be whipped. Somebody got to be nailed, put a piece of timber and hang for 6 long hours, drop his head between the locks of his shoulder. Somebody got to pay for your lowdowns, rotten, conniving, backbiting sins that you have committed. And then you got the nerve to stand up and say, well, I haven't sinned. And the Bible says, if a man said he haven't sinned, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's not that God is not a God of love, but God is a God of holiness, and he cannot tolerate sin in your soul, because that's the only thing Jesus Christ can save is your soul. He can't save your body. Your body cannot be sanctified and cleansed until when? Until the trumpets blow. And when the trumpets blow, the Bible said, we shall be changed from a mortal to immortality. We shall be changed and become a new creature. Now, we are completely sinless. Woo! Listen to me what I'm saying. We are completely sinless when we get our new body. I'm in an old body. I'm in a body about 70 years old now. I'll be 77 in November this summer. I'll be 77 years old. And this body is worn and torn. This body still has sins them dealing with. This body is aches and pains and headaches and back aches and it just ain't fit to come into God's presence. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you put your hope in him, well, you shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That means I'm going to get a brand new body. My friends, you don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. Now, if you want to see you want to see the difference between heaven and hell, go to the 21st and the 27th chapter of Revelation, and you will read the condition that heaven is in. Oh, my God. The Bible said there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more cursing, no more lying, no more sin, nothing but love and mercy and goodness and rejoicing. Look at the condition of our world. We walking on concrete. We walking on cement. We walking on all kinds of asphalt. We walking on all kinds of things that can be damaging to your feet. But in the Bible of Revelation, the 21st and 22nd chapter, it says we shall walk on the streets of gold. I'm talking about gold, man. How is it that I can walk on gold? Look here. I can walk on gold because of what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. I won't have to cry no more. I won't have to worry about unemployment. I won't have to worry about retiring. I won't have to worry about funerals no more. I don't have to worry about diseases and corona and all kinds of things. I don't have to worry about anything no more, because it was the blood of Jesus Christ that God made through his son Jesus Christ, that he died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And the devil don't like it, and that's why he's trying to get all those to stay away from the cross. The devil will say, stay away from the cross. Don't go there, because if you go there, I'm going to lose you. And he'll tell you this: I got too much to offer you. I got prestige to offer you. I got gold to offer you. I got money to offer you. I got a good time to offer you. I got women to offer you. I got everything materialistic to offer you if you just stay away from the cross. If you stay away from the cross, and you reject the blood of Jesus, yeah, and you keep on doing what you're doing, yeah, don't you know one day, if it's not sooner or later, you're going to die. And if you die tomorrow morning, if you die 2 years from now, and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, and I don't have nothing against going to church, but this, some people don't wore this church thing out. You can go and go and go and go and go, and you never come to the cross. You're still going to hell. You can't go without coming to the cross. This is what the Bible is signifying. This is what the Bible is pounding in. This is what Jesus was pounding in when he said, flee from the wrath of God. Flee from your sins. Flee from unrighteousness and come to me. And the world is saying, I ain't got time for it. But my friends, time is winding up. Time is winding up. It's getting closer and closer every day. We're living in 2021. Pretty soon 2021, we'll be gone. Before you can turn your neck around 90 degrees, we're going to be in 2021. And I'm telling you right now, according to the scriptures, in terms of what's going on, there's more to come. There's a wake-up call coming. Jesus Christ is coming back again to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And all that you see, the Bible prophecy. And in October the 1st, I think October or November, the Pope is planning to tell the world that he's planning to unite all world religions. All world religions. All world religions. Every religion that you can name, he wants them to come unite together under one tent, under one umbrella. And he's going to call this the world church. That's right. That's what it is. The world church. That means it belongs to the world. It's worldly. It's controlled by Lucifer. It's controlled by the devil. And these people that's in this world church, is the nastiest, low-down, backbiting, homosexuals, lesbianism, drunkards, sodomite, child pornography. All these people are cahoots with the devil's plan to turn people away from God. And in the book of Revelation, you will see the Bible says in the 13th chapter of Revelation, around the 3rd and 4th verse, it said, and all the world wandered after the beast. In other words, the bride of Satan will actually worship the devil. They will be the devil's breed. They will be breeding all kind of filthiness. And the cup that's in the woman's hand in the 17th chapter of Revelation, it says, and the cup was full of abomination and the filthiness of the earth. There is more incest in the families today than ever in human history. The suicide rate is growing higher and higher and higher. And the baby abortions are growing higher. People are slaughtering babies 8 months after the babies have been in the womb. Talking about parenting child control. The world is filthy, my friends. You're living in a filthy age. The whole world lies in wickedness. It's full of wickedness. And the place that you think it is not, ain't supposed to be there, is there. And it's up in the pulpit. It's up in the congregation. It's everywhere. And the only way the Bible can explain it, he said, come out from among them and be ye separated from them. Lord, have mercy. You ain't got no business going in. If you call yourself a child of God, you ain't got no business up in some kind of joint. You ain't got no business going to no gambling den. You ain't got no business going out there laying around a whoremongering and adulteries and wife swapping and all this stuff. It's filtering. And this is what this world church is all about. And the Pope is the one that's going to ignite it. And the world religions, all world religions. And a lot of people say Christianity is going to join in. The Christianity ain't joining in nothing. And if you're a Christian and you join in, that means you ain't no child of God, because the Holy Ghost will not allow that to control your life. God will chastise you first before you ashamed his name. And the world is trying to mix Christianity with paganism. And Constantine did that way back there in the early church age, and mixed in with the church, that people saying, I can be a stone cold-blooded murderer and still be a Christian. That's a lie. And the truth is not in it, because God is love. And whoever is born of God loveth his brother. And no Christian's not going to go out here and go shooting up folks. They full of the devil. If a person does that, he's full of the devil and not Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was meek and humble and loved people. He was concerned about people's souls. And the world today is going haywire, trying to mix God's righteousness with unrighteousness. And it ain't going to work. Because he said, don't do no separating until I come. And God will do all the separating. My friends, this is Elder G. Bazard. This is Watchman on the Wall. I got a half an hour to do. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm able to do it. So glad Brother Jackson was with me today. Amen. I appreciate him being with me. He's kind of under the weather a little bit. Amen. But anyway, he'll be back. Probably be back on Saturday. I'm praying for him that he'll feel better. Coming from a cold. Right now, we're going to talk about a few things that's going on in the world today. And that is, a lot of people is wondering about the Jewish people on what plague would they have in the tribulation period. The tribulation period, the Jews will be control of the gospel studio. I can say studio. In other words, they will be control of the gospel. They have never, as a nation, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They rejected Christ when he came the first time. But as we close and get ready to go into the tribulation period, after the rapture of the church, after Jesus Christ comes and gets the body of Christ, those that have been sanctified by the blood, those that are saved, those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, they will be excommunicated from earth to heaven. That's the rapture. The rapture will occur real soon, real soon, sooner than I think it is. When the rapture occurs in the book of Revelation, the last church on the planet will be called Laodicean Church. That is the lukewarm, hypocritical, humanist church. This church will go into the final tribulation period that's called in the 17th chapter the Great Whore. The Great Whore in the 17th chapter of Revelation reads like this. This is the church that the Pope is gathering up right now between October and November as we go into the close of the Laodicean church. It will move on up into the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. The 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, it will be the rise of the false church. The 17th chapter, let's describe that in the book of Revelation. At this time, the church is not here. In this part of the book of Revelation, the church is not here on the earth. The church is taken up at the beginning of the tribulation period. This church is considered as the great whore upon the whole earth. Listen, and there came unto me seven angels, which had seven vows, and talked with me, and said unto me, come up hither, I will show you the judgment of the great whore, which sitteth upon many waters. The great whore refers to all, listen, the great whore refers to all religions of the world that ever been, which are devised by men and substitute for Jesus Christ and him crucified. You got that? The great whore refers to all the religion of the world that ever have been, which devised by men now, as substitute for Jesus Christ. In other words, these false religions is saying we are the substitute for Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, we don't believe it's necessary for Jesus Christ to die and suffer and be crucified for salvation. So we got our own salvation. God's way is Christ and him crucified alone. As well, the many waters are the symbolized of multitudes of people. The water represents the multitude of people who follow after this great whore, this great religious organization that consists of unregenerate non-believers that don't believe that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient for salvation, so they got their own salvation. And so this, they are followers and become the great whore. They are whoring after their own religion, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The great whore, all types of religion. From the very beginning, most nations have been ruled by some of these religions. All religion devised by men and even part of Christianity that have been corrupted are labeled by the Lord as spiritual fornication. Spiritual fornication. Fornicating with other gods, pagans, and demigods. And it says, proclaim addiction of religions and doing of religions in the most powerful narcotic there is. And so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit up on a scarlet colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now listen to this. The angels, a vision, every religion effort to attempt to take the place of the cross is a spiritual wilderness. A spiritual wilderness. In other words, if you are in any kind of denomination that don't teach the full, authentic word of God and teach the crucifixion and the burial and the death and the regeneration and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is in a spiritual wilderness. Wilderness. The woman is organized religion. By that we mean any religion or form of religion claiming to have a way of salvation, of victory other than the cross. Listen, other than the cross. No cross, no crown. No cross, no salvation. No cross, no heaven. No cross, good God Almighty. Woo! Because the salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, indicates blood and pertaining to great persecution. Refers to the woman opposing the plan of God in every capacity. The seven heads and 10 horns. This pertaining to the colored beast, not the woman. The seven heads represent the seven empires persecuted Israel in the past, with the last one yet future. They are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media-Persian, Greece, and Rome. The seven empires that's past, present, and yet future join together. The 10 horns represent the 10 nations that will arise out of the old Roman Empire, the European common market known as NATO. That's in Western Europe, the one world government will begin at Western Europe and bring it over to America and spread all over the face of the earth. And it says the old Roman Empire was destroyed, but it will make a renewal and be revived, known as the one world government of the new world order. And the 10 nations make up the seven heads. The Roman Empire, which made up of six heads, was the last of the empires that persecuted Israel before the destruction of a nation in 70 AD. When the 10 hornets arise, which will shortly, it will persecute Israel. Well, the revived Roman Empire is coming back. It's already back. And since it's back, is going to join in and become the one world government, which will be led by the Antichrist all over the face of the whole earth, including United States of America, will become a part of the new world order of the one world government. That's what America is coming to. And America will be a partaker of the great whore that's up on the colorful beast that will rule the world under one world order and bring in the Antichrist, where we'll be in a place where he will rule the world for a short period of time, including most the last 3.5 years up on the face of the earth. The Antichrist will take the whole control of the world for 3.5 years. And during that 3.5 years, Israel will become the head nations to bring forth the last message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom for 3.5 years. The first part of the tribulation period, they will preach for what? 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months, and times and times and dividing times. And God is going to use the Jewish nation to preach that message, and it's found in the book of Revelation at the 7th chapter where John looks and said, I seen 144,000 Jews, not the Baptists, not the Presbyterian, not the Jehovah's Witness, not the Catholic. It will be the Jewish nation that will preach the gospel of the kingdom, and that gospel is that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, and he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom, and that millennial kingdom will last 1,000 years, and the gospel will be heard on radio, TV, internet, Instagram, Facebook. It will be heard around the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? It will be heard. You're not hearing nothing now. You're not hearing nothing now. You're hearing the gospel be preached by the church, and the church is not fulfilling this mission. The preachers are not preaching the end time message and the message of salvation. The message of salvation is that Jesus Christ can save your soul. And the message to the Jews is going that Jesus Christ is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And it's going to be preached so powerful that the whole round world will hear the gospel be preached by Israel. The Jews will preach the gospel of good news, that Jesus Christ is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And the world is going to be shocked when they see these 144,000 men evangelize the world, starting in Jerusalem. The gospel was planted in the Middle East, the gospel church in the Middle East. The day of Pentecost, when everybody was in one accord, in one place, in one mind. Jesus told the disciples, I'm going back to Jerusalem, going back to heaven, and after I've been going back to heaven for 10 days, I'm going to send you some power of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes, you shall be a witness for me. And the church is a witness to the world to let the world know it's Jesus Christ and nothing else. It's Jesus Christ and nothing else. It's Jesus Christ and nothing else. It's not denomination. It's not your looks. It's not your money. It's not your fame. It's not your education. It's not your good looks. It's not nothing but Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. You're just not going. You're just not going. You're going to miss heaven. And the only place for those that miss heaven is hell. And the devil knows he's on his way. And he wants all that he can get. But I rebuke him in the name of Jesus tonight, that those that link up with this great whore in the book of Revelation 17 chapter, listen to what it says. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet with gold decked with gold and precious stones, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And up on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. The mystery of Babylon. There's a mystery about Babylon. And the world is consistent with thousands of cities that have that Babylonian spirit. And one of the greatest nations up on the planet right now has a Babylonian spirit. One of the greatest nations up on the planet of the earth today has that Babylonian spirit. And that nation is, United States of America has that Babylonian spirit that's full of abomination and filthiness of the earth. America has become rotten almost to the core. America has more drug addicts, more drunkards. America has more murderers, has more people in jail. America has more porno and child pornography. America has more suicide rate than any other nation. America has more sodomite and more fags and more punks and more lesbianism, more incest, more sodomite than any other nation on the planet. She is filthy. She is low down. She has become rotten. She has tried to dethrone God from being the God of heaven and the whole universe. She has trodden the Christian, tried to trodden the Christian faith underneath the rock. But thank God I know a rock in a weary land. I know a shelter in a time of storm. They have denied Jesus Christ as Lord God of heaven. And now America is paying its price. We got more diseases and more venereal diseases in the United States of America because of the way people are whoremongering and doing all kind of wicked of incest amongst the family. More pornography is strewn across the magazines and newspaper and rottenness to the core. And the Bible said righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. We got more people going to church, but more people are living loose and living crazy and living all kinds of way of not standing up against unrighteousness. They're coping with it. They're saying it's all right, but let me tell you, you're a lying wonder. God is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And anything God does is righteous. And anything that's not righteous is not of God. The devil is roaring like a lion, seeking who he may devour. We got more babies being aborted than any other nation on the face of the earth. 62 million babies are being ripped out of people's women's wombs and thrown into the garbage can or used for scientific experience. We got more babies dying and more babies being born that people are throwing away. People born, babies born out of wedlock, and the men don't want to take them. We got more marriages that's busting up and going sideways, have no more value of the divine plan that God has for the family. The men today are not standing up for the word of God and for righteousness. And by that, America's going to the cesspool of sin. Storms, tornadoes, earthquakes, pestilence in divers places. Men turning against the holy God and trying to defy his righteousness. Men have become so wicked, so diabolical, that God says in the 10th chapter of Revelation, he sends down an angel from heaven with a little book in his hand. The angel put one foot on the land and one on the sea and held it up and swore to him that sitteth on the throne, the time that's now shall be no longer. My friends, you better get ready. Don't you worry about this coronavirus, because it ain't going to go away. It's going to set up this generation for the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. It's going to set the world up for the mark of the beast. Because now they're making it mandatory that you get a shot. If you don't get a shot, you can't go to work. You lose your income. You can't go here. You can't go there. It's setting up for the mark of the beast, because when the mark of the beast comes, it's going to be, you will not be able to buy It ain't gonna be no virus. It ain't gonna be about a virus. It's gonna be about if you don't receive the mark on the back of your hand or in your forehead, you will not be able to buy or sell. If you don't receive that mark, you are going to be beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way you can escape the mark, is that you refuse the mark and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation to deliver you. And the way it's going now, the guillotine is going to be the instrument of execution of the Christians during the tribulation period that makes a stand for Jesus Christ, because they're going to be willing to die for the faith that they have in Jesus Christ than to receive the mark of the beast. If they receive the mark of the beast, their soul, good God Almighty, their soul will be damned, forever. In other words, you will be eternally lost because you reject to believe and repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will actually be damned. Your soul will be lost forever, and you will have to be put and thrown into the lake of fire. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Watchman on the Wall. My friends, we are living ultimately in the last days. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't know him as your Redeemer, you can get him anywhere. You can get saved anywhere. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You can confess right now where you at that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, all by himself, suffered and died for my sins. And by me believing on him and accepting him and repenting of my sins, I can be saved from death, hell, and the grave. I won't have to go to hell, because God don't want me to go to hell. He wants you to accept his son, his precious prize, sacrifice. The only way that God Almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, and immutable God, the only way that he could bring man back to God and make reconciliation was through the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ. You can come and accept him tonight. As I get ready to go off the air, you can come to him tonight in the humblest way that you know how and fall wherever you at on your knees and call out in the name of Jesus, save my soul before it's everlasting too late. Save my soul, Lord. I'm sorry I've sinned against the holy God. I'm sorry I've been rebellious. I'm sorry for even being born in sin, but you couldn't help that. Because the sin trait fell down through Adam to every human being on this planet. And God wants to save this planet. But he can't save them unless the people on the planet repent. If they don't repent, they can't be saved. You got to come to him with a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, a spirit that you're saying, I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you, and you don't like sin. And since I know you don't like sin, I want to get rid of my sin. And the only way I can get rid of my sin is I know I got to come to you and ask you to wash me and make me whiter than snow through your precious blood. There is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein. If the sinner fall beneath the flow, sinner will lose all his guilty stains. Because soon and very soon, the body of Christ will be excommunicated from this planet. But first, in 2022, it's going to be a year of years. It's going to be astronomical, out of sight. Because Bible prophecy is almost concluded just before the rapture of the church. And when the rapture of the church occurs, the tribulation period will kick in. The Antichrist will come. The false prophet will come. The Jews will build the temple. The Jews will get the two heifers. The Jews will get the Ark of the Covenant. The Jews will start the old sacrificial offerings again. And God is going to let them know and prove to them that Judaism is done. It's no more Judaism. It's the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. If somebody out there know what I'm talking about, if somebody out there know that they need to know Jesus Christ right now, you can come to him. How do you come to him? You come to him in a repentant spirit. And the Bible tells you exactly how to come. In the book of Romans 10 and 9. In the books of Romans 10 and 9, it says this. 10 and 9, simple as A, B, C. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you just confess with your mouth where you at right now, that 2,000 years ago, God himself came to this earth in the flesh, Jesus Christ. God came to this earth, born of a woman, became flesh, stayed on this earth 33 1/2 years, did miracles, suffered and died, crucified. Oh, yes, he did. Nailed him to the cross, beat him beyond recognition that you couldn't even identify that he was a son of God, and hung him for 6 long hours, hung him. Wouldn't even give him a drink of water. Ridiculed him, embarrassed him. And said, if you be the Son of God, come down off the cross. But if Jesus would have come down off the cross, George Bizard, if I wouldn't be alive, I'd be dead. If I would die without Christ dying, I'd be in hell right now. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. That's the only way he can bring man back to God. Thank God for Jesus. Because there's no other man can save my soul but Jesus. Why don't you come to him tonight? Come on in. Go tell your friends. Elder G. Bizarre be preaching Sunday at 5 o'clock. Come on and hear the word of God. If you hear the word of God, I guarantee you, you won't be sorry if you do. And I'll ask the Lord to save your soul that you can understand what I'm trying to tell you. The biggest mistake that the human race is making. The biggest mistake I made mistakes in my life. You made mistakes that you regret that you made. But the biggest mistake that the human race is making is the human race is making this mistake is that they think or believe the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross don't mean nothing. And the mistake it is, if they reject that, they're only going to find out until they're in hell. And they're going to find out that's the biggest mistake I ever made in my whole life. And my friends, don't make that mistake. Come to Jesus right now. Believe on the Lord.